Welcome back to Be Broker with Rabbi Yehoshua Gerzi in our continued exploration about Pesach, the key to financial success. And before we start, we'd just like to once again thank our Beit Cafe, Beit Simcha, the best coffee in town in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Ramat Beit Shemesh. She hasn't yet gone international. And to welcome all of our listeners, Torah. Yes.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. And we like to welcome our Torah Anytime listeners and the rest of the listeners around the world. And where we were in our exploration of how to be able to tap and connect into the power of Pesach in this specific angle regarding Parnassa is that, and really we just had it on Shabbos, I don't know, I'm sure everyone did who's been following within the series, hearing that Parshas HaChodesh and hearing it a little bit different this year in terms of that Kriya of HaChodesh HaZelechem, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us as we roll into the preparations of Pesach, Abba Aleinu L'Tayva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember who we are and to reclaim who we are, as throughout the year we may have forgotten that.
I want to share something as well. As somebody who's reading Parashat HaChodesh, they rushed up to me just after Musaf and they said, whoa, it says speaks about Parnassa in Chodesh, in Tfilah, it speaks about Parnassa. And I said, no, ver. He says, you should know, I never heard it before. I know, I could tell you it says it, but I resonated with it completely differently.
Wow.
So, well done.
We spoke about it in the Global Chabur. We had an amazing time. Vessel Hashem, those who will be joining with us after Pesach, to be able to explore Tfilas Rav. It changed the way. B'schus Tfilas Rav, you never know B'schus Tfilas Rav, B'schus Tfilas Rabim, what's going on over there? Is it the Rav of my shul? I don't like the Rav of my shul, so I go with Tfilas Rabim. And then I was like, talking about Rav. Okay, Parnassa, Aisha v'Chavod. So, Chodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, and we're going to be rolling into Rosh Chodesh to reclaim who we are. Right, we spoke last time about the avoid of cleaning and chametz, where we go through this process of starting to unblock those things that are stopping us from who we can become. And what one of the questions we threw forward as an exercise, I know each one of us took the time to write it, to type it, and if you haven't, it's not too late to ask these fundamental questions, right, about becoming aware of what are those things that are blocking us. So we ask these questions, right, I can't become wealthy because, right, or I can't enjoy my job, right, I can't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, through my work, I can't have a good time, I can't have fun at work because, ... And really what we're going to be speaking about today is one of the answers that I'm sure came up for some of our listeners, I know that it definitely came up internally for myself, is because of the fact that work can be experienced as stressful, right? Because of stress, there's stress involved with finance, there's stress involved with work. For many people, the studies, I always enjoy looking at the most recent studies. So I saw that 83% of Americans, right, say that stress is a significant part of what happens at their work. And the good news is, for those UK, British friendly, only 76% of the British felt that stress is between moderate and strong levels at their work, but it was up from 69% in 2022. Yeah. So it seems that the stress levels, even in the UK.
What year?
We're only in 2023, right? So I'm not exactly sure. I was comparing I guess it must have been between 21 and 22. But it showed on a graph that they went up from 69% to 76%.
I wonder how much corona affected that.
That would be a fascinating thing to check
stress
it out.
And stress at work and...
And how that's, you know, how that played out. But
fascinating. Yeah, I'll just tell you, I did see one paper where it spoke about how stress increased because people were working from home.
Right.
So because they're working from home, they... What's the...
Well, you know, you're getting a look for Reb Simcha because one of our B'nai Chabur is one of the leaders, thought leaders, and not just thought, but practical.
But it's,
and,
no,
it's, and
it's
about the future.
People felt, you know, they're at home, they can't get things done, they've got deadlines, but they've got like... the little brachas of the husband, wife, kids.
Right. It's something that needs to be learned how to be able to do. Do we do a podcast on that yet? I don't think we did about working at home.
We should do it.
We're going to do that.
What's the Torah view? Is the Torah view, should we work home? Should we not work
right.
at home?
We spoke about work-life boundaries. But I don't think we spoke about working at home. Yeah. Bezos Hashem, we're going to do that.
Lineidu Bezos Hashem.
I mean, okay. So... 76%, so in America, 25%, right? One of every four Americans felt that stress was the number one cause, right? The work was the number one cause of stress in their lives. And 76% of Americans felt that the work, that the stress they're experiencing at work, is impacting their personal relationships. Now, it's an interesting question that you see is what happens as a result of that stress. So what we see time and time again, studies show that productivity goes down. And I think I saw the figure that it costs in America $300 billion of impact of the stress that's taking place at work, what's called absenteeism. I love that term that they came up for. Basically, people playing hooky, you know, just not really showing up at work and getting doctor's notes because they're stressed, and all the different costs and fees that are going into place because of that. So we see stress levels go high, right? Productivity levels go low. And what's fascinating, we hinted about this, I think, in the first and second class, is that really one of the forebearers of stress at work, one of our Pesach heroes, right? Who pushed stress at work?
Paro,
of course.
It took me a little bit of time to wake up.
You can't really say that. But yeah. Paro, we can learn from him. So we find that Gadol Shel Pesach, Besos Hashem, will be reading this soon. We have it on Amar Makomos. V'nitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Very good. We cried out, Zakadosh Baruch Hu. V'yishma Hashem es koleinu. Hashem heard our voices. V'yar es anyenu, v'es amaleinu, v'es lachatzenu. So three different Lashonos over here. Hakadosh Baruch Hu saw, right, the suffering and the struggles that we were going through, the hard work that we were putting through. And we find over here this Lashon of v'es lachatzenu, right, as the Haggadah goes on to expound, is the zuadchak. Right, Shinemar Begamar Isias Lachatz Asher Mitzrayim Lochatzim Osam. That Paro was interested in putting lachatz. He was putting stress on us.
He chapped.
And what was the result? Did it cause him to be more productive or less productive? Less productive. But that's the chiddush, is that Paro wasn't interested per se in productivity. Paro was interested in using work in when it's done in the wrong way to destroy us.
It's such a big nakuda, because if we listen to the Torah, there's such wisdom in the Torah. There's such wisdom in this pasuk. It's like you just contemplate it. Paro chapt. I don't necessarily want productivity. I want to shrink them. I want to constrict them. I want them to feel
that away our spirit and take away our spirit and crush us.
And he chapt. And then at work, at work, where we want to be productive, you take the same logic of this pasuk, and it's not happening.
Right.
Like, it's not happening.
Yeah,
we're being told here very, very clearly that stress, shrinking, reduces productivity.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. It's a fascinating topic about what Paro was trying to do in terms of how he wanted to really defeat our spirit, which, Bez Hashem, we've mentioned, we'll get more into it as we go through the series. It's not our specific topic for right now. But one thing that we see is that the workplace is recognizing this. You know, whether or not they care about mental health or people, I'm not sure, but we definitely see that they care about productivity and they care about people, hopefully. And therefore, we find what's taking place in the workplace, the introduction of yoga and meditation, all these different interventions, right, that are able to help reduce stress so that therefore people aren't as stressed at work, and therefore things will flow, things will work better, and we can be more productive. But from a Torah perspective, right, and we know that this is a big yesod here in the Beis Medrash of Pilsno, right, and personal conversations that I've had with you about this topic, right, is that where the conversation starts before we get into interventions about stress is to ask a fundamental question of, well, what is stress? Like, where does stress come from? And that needs to first be addressed.
Okay.
I know it's a big topic. I know you run workshops and like weekends about this, but let's just get it all without any pressure in about 7 minutes.
Try to share a couple of thoughts. So first of all, once upon a time, when, you know, talk about 150, 200 years ago, when someone said to you, unfortunately, they lost a child, or that somebody died, you know, and they may have been young in the 30s and 40s, when somebody turned around and said, oh, they had to have their leg amputated because of gangrene, it'd be chaval. Like, I'm sorry to hear that. It wouldn't be like a shock, because it was very normal. Life expectancy wasn't so long. 30s, 40s, you know, 200 years ago, that, like, 50s. An old person was in the 60s. When you look at the world of medicine, you know, they're drilling holes into people's heads. they were using the same instruments from, you know, giving birth to a corpse and vice versa, whatever it may be. So when somebody said, oh, gangrene or infant mortality, it was like, okay, I'm sorry, you know, but it's normal. And now we come into the 20th century, 21st century, our standards, because we have such deep knowledge in the world of medicine, you know, longevity has improved. Whether the quality of life has improved, that's a different conversation, but people are living longer. Healing, if somebody's not well, the standards of healing is far better than ever before. Excuse me. So what happens is we look 200 years ago, we look at 200 years ago how things were in the world of medicine, and we look today, that which was normal, sad but normal, today you'd say, no, that's not, that's like, wow, that's tragic. A person loses a child, it's tragic. And it's like less and less heard of. So if you take that model, you can use that model with the narrative of what the experience of stress is. Why? Because whereas once upon a time there was a normal gangrene, tetanus, person got a little nick and get infected, person would have some sort of virus that today antibiotics would deal with. If there wasn't any antibiotics, forget about it. Today, oh yeah, go to the doctor, get antibiotics. Our standards are very, very high. Stress is where we are right now. And the way we deal with stress, it's the same place as where we were 200 years ago with medicine. What do I mean? So it's fascinating. Where does stress come from? So if you, like you mentioned, if you look at the way people understand stress, we look at it as if the situation is stressful, and then you have to have some sort of like stress relief intervention. Whether, as you quite rightly said, yoga or massage. So what are we being told? And we're not conscious of this yet. What are we being told? We're being told that there's a stressful situation. The workplace is stressful. So go for a walk to dissipate that stress. Or the workplace is stressful. Do yoga to dissipate that stress. So where is the stress? Where are we being told the stress is coming from? We're being told, again, we're only becoming more conscious of this model, even though I think it's wrong. We're being more conscious of this model in the last however many years, that what we're being told is stress is related to the environment that we are in.
An external situation.
Something external, an external situation, and that's where stress is. And then we have to do a stress intervention. Yoga, meditation, exercise,
those are the healthy ones.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. Smoking, what do people do?
Nah.
But where does stress actually come from? So are we clear with that so far? Does that make sense? Maybe you just reflect what I said, so, because you're very good at reflecting.
Thank you. What Rabbi's sharing is that where we currently are and the way that we view stress is a mindset in which you have an external situation, right? And this is what's coming up in the studies that have been put out there because of the situation at stress at work. You know, what is the cause of stress? Number one, the workload, my boss, the employees, difficult clients, my hours, external situations that are causing stress. And then we, trying to stop this because of its negative impact, are coming up with different things which we find do help to release those levels of stress. But the way that we're looking at it is from an external situation.
It's external.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because in Yiddishkeit we have something called Yeshiva Das, we have something called Menuchas HaNefesh. In Yiddishkeit the model is radically different. The model of meaning, because really if you really break down what stress is, what we will come to discover is that the model of meaning for any hargasha we have within us is never from the outside world. It's always from our internal interpretation of a world. So one of my teachers would say as following. If you take, for example, you know, the pavement. What do you call the pavement in America? Sidewalk. Okay? As kids, you know, as kids, we walk along, you've got the pavement, and you've got the road, and then the sidewalk, and you've got the little thin piece of concrete, and you walk a little, put one foot at a time, and you'd walk along it. The kids, like a tightrope. If you take a piece of wood, and you put it on the floor, and you walk on the this piece of wood, you walk on it, so, you know, like you're walking on the side of the road, you're not scared, you're quite comfortably enjoying yourself. Take a piece of wood, put it on the floor over here, and you walk over it backwards, and you can do it pretty comfortably. Little, you know, nothing crazy, but you could balance on it. And you're enjoying yourself, it's a bit of fun, you're laughing, you know. Now, what happens if you take that same piece of wood and elevate it 100 feet in the air?
Totally different experience.
Totally different experience. Why? It's the same piece of wood. It could be that you are really proficient. You can walk up and down this piece of wood and you don't fall off at all. Balanced. Perfect balance. Raise it 100 feet in the air. Now what happens? Oh, I'm scared. You don't want to do it. Why am I here? So what's changed? What's changed? Really, the only thing that's changed is your attitude, your thinking about that particular something. That's what's changed. Your thinking. Take that same piece of wood, put it on the floor, you're fine. Even if you elevate that same piece of wood a couple of centimeters, you're still fine.
Right. You're saying it's their thinking about the situation which is going to impact.
So stress is not situation. Stress is not from the situation we are in. Stress is a internal generation of thinking that leads us to feel uncomfortable. And this is in Yiddishkeit, this should be a davar ragil. We call this being a baldas. A baldas recognizes all of my reality in terms of meaning, what something means to me, comes from my thinking about that particular thing. So my machshava and my dimyon, it's painting a picture in my mind about the situation. And the situation is just the situation. For example, this coffee is just coffee. What the coffee means to me is from my internal generation of my memories, my expectations, my assumptions. Ah, nice warm coffee, you know, it's comfortable. It's so my meaning, the meaning of anything comes from in here, not from out there. So when we say stress management, coming from a Taradika perspective, it's actually, excuse me, it's actually illogical. It's illogical. Yes, meditation is nice, and yes, yoga is all good. But instead of having stress intervention of yoga, it's backwards, because there's no such thing as a stressful environment. There is such thing as stressful thinking.
I see.
That's all that exists, our thinking.
I see. So you're saying, so once a person is in a place of being stressed, right, so then you have different interventions, right, that are there because a person's experiencing stress. I mean, how do we know a person's experiencing stress?
You know, it's a feeling
that they
have. Tightness, heaviness. It's a feeling that we feel within.
It's a feeling that we're feeling in. For those people that have never been stressed, here we have a great definition. I mean, I know what it's like.
We think overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. So we have different interventions that we know do help. But what we're saying over here is that taking a step back, right, if we understand that the way to be able to, if we want to use the word prevent stress from happening, or we want to be able, before we get to that place, right, we first need to understand that there's a mindset of recognizing where is stress coming from.
Where is it coming from?
Because if we don't recognize it, so then what happens is we can more easily fall into that process of being stressed. And even just recognizing itself and recognizing that in any given situation that I'm in, right? So let's say I'm at work and my boss sent me an email, or I just had a phone call with someone and afterwards it was an uncomfortable situation, to recognize where is that stress coming from? Is that stress coming from my boss? Is that stress coming from that email, from that conversation? Or is there something inside of me that has just taken the situation, taking this cup of coffee, taking this board, right, that's on the pavement, and now something's changed, so that therefore this situation that I'm looking at is somehow becoming in my mind something which is scary, something which makes me feel afraid, something that makes me feel insecure.
It's interesting to note because even the Lashon of Mitzrayim is metzer, narrowing. When a person's stressed, they function far less than optimal. We know that. But what happens when a person's stressed? So their thinking affects their feelings, and their feelings tighten the body. Metzer yam.
Right, so you're meaning it's a... We find even the description of the word that that's the way a person feels. Yeah. Physiologically, there's this construction.
And everybody knows, you know, when a person is tightened up, their productivity is less. They can't think as clearly.
Right.
The immune system's weaker. Hormones go out of whack. But the essence of where it's coming from is our thinking. And that's why, for example, you can have five people in the same situation and everyone could relate differently. You could take somebody who's highly trained in the SAS. You put them in a stressful situation and they won't feel stressed. They'll be excited. This is a challenge, excellent challenger. Be excited because they've become incredibly trained that when they have to face a stressful situation, bang, it awakens all these endorphins. Excellent, it's a challenge I'm going to overcome.
But that's the way that they relate to
that. Because it's down to our interpretation. So the yoga and all of these things are very, very good. However, from a Torah perspective, it's illogical. And for majority of people, they're dealing with an outside
in
belief, outside in. It's coming from the environment, it's coming from the outside. Where in Yiddishkeit, we say all meaning comes from inside out.
Beautiful. So how would we tie this into Pesach? Meaning in terms of, you know, rolling into the avodah of chametz and matzah. That's what we wanted to speak about today. The topic of today's class is matzah, which is uprooting money and work-related stress. So how do we find chametz is playing in this sort of type of way?
What is chametz and what's matzah? What are we being told here? What are we being shared? And the nakuda is matzah is a food that is very thin. Any thinner, it wouldn't exist. Chametz is inflated.
This is the Orsha Ve'isa that we spoke about last time. That
it's inflated. So the idea, the simple idea, is that anything that's in front of us just is. It's just a cup. It's just a piece of paper. It's just a table. So what we want in Avodas Hashem is to climb out of, so to speak, our imagination, allow the interpretation to be held, allow judgment to be held for a few moments, and learn to see what's in front of you just as.
Just
to see, this is what's in front of me. I can choose my interpretation of it.
Beautiful. And I think, you know, a lot of us are familiar with these explanations about chametz, right? That, you know, chametz is something which, you know, because of the chametz process, that it makes things puffy and it makes things seem as...
It blows things out of proportion.
Right? And that's like one of the old ideas, right, that we spoke a little bit about last time regarding Gaiva. There's a beautiful piece that we brought for you from the Kutei Halachas, right, where Rabbi Nassin explains this, what we just described, right, a little bit inside in regarding to matzah. So he says over here in the Kutei Halachas, Hilchas Pesach Aleph, V'zeh b'chinas achilas matzah b'pesach, right, that through this process of going out of Mitzrayim, right, it was a revelation of Das. Right, familiar from many sources, right, the concept that in Mitzrayim, Das was in Galus. Right, the Das was in Galus.
That's saying that our interpretation was left up to...
Right, exactly.
What we were told.
Right, exactly. That's the way that we're explaining it over here. Right, many are familiar with this idea. We may have seen, you know, Das was in Galus. But what does that mean? You know, Das was in Galus. Right? Das became free. So here we see that Rabbi Nassin is explaining this idea that through Yetzias Mitzrayim there was a revelation of Das. V'alkein azachu l'shlosh hashpaos elu shehem be'er anan uman. So he says that through this we were zoche to these three hashpois, right, the be'er, right, the well, right, the anan, the cloud, uman, sheyotzin min hadas, right, that through we're able to go out through das. V'zeh b'chinas shlosh matzos shel pesach k'neged shlosh hashpaos hanal sheyotzin min hadas. So here we're not going to have a chance to go even into the long Torah, right, in terms of going through the Be'er, the Ananu, the Man. But what Rabbi Nasa is reflecting over here is that these three matzos that we have, when we're sitting there at the Seder and we have our three matzos, these are connected, these three hashpa'os, right, of the Be'er Anan Udaman, right, Sheyotim in Adash, Shuhu Bechinas Matzah, Ki HaMatzah Hu Bechina Adas. Right, because the matzah itself, right, he connects it to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to the Midah of Das, is that the matzah is a manifestation of Das. Right, and Rebbe, what you just shared, we could just reflect on what you just shared before to connect the dots, is that Das, right, and once again, so if you're new to this terminology of Das in terms of understanding the architecture of the soul, right, it's a Torah that's spoken a lot in the Pilsner Beis Medrash. I'm sure Rebbe has other videos about it on Rabbi Gerzi's YouTube channel, just for those people that want to get a little bit more of a taste of it. But what we're speaking about over here is accessing that part of us, which is called our Das, where we have the ability to observe what's taking place and see something just for what it is without the interpretation. So what we want to do, right, another Kavanah to have in mind, right, as we're going through the process of cleaning for Pesach, right, of getting rid of our chametz, right, is that we're trying to get rid of our internal way of relating to reality, right, which is getting caught up in the story, right, getting caught up in this inflated reality, right, of that it's because of an external circumstance which is causing my situation, right? So when it's something which goes beyond stress, but in our context of what we're talking about over here in work-related stress, right, what that means to be a chametz stick person, right, is that the reason why I'm stressed is because of my job, the reason why I can't experience, right, enjoyment in my job is because of my boss, it's because of if you had my manager, you know, if you were sitting in, you know, in the cubicle that I'm sitting in, if you were had that client that I had, you would also be stressed, right? Because what do you mean? It's a stressful situation. So you go, we talk about it, people validate the fact that we feel stressed, right? And what we're speaking about over here is, right, is that is a chametz way of looking at reality.
Yeah.
And matzah gives us this ability to be able to experience reality from what it is, which really ties into this Zohar. Should we have time? We'll go a little bit to the Zohar. I know it's a very deep concept within itself, where the Zohar and Sefer in Shmos, Parshas Bo, right, so we have over here that Amar Rabbi Shimon, right, so Rabbi Shimon gives us a teaching, maybe we'll stay it outside because we have a few more comments we want to get through, but Rabbi Shimon gives us teaching that speaks about how matzah is connected to Elohim and connected to Din, right, which is interesting, right, because we think Pesach is a Zman of Chesed, right, so what's matzah showing up and being connected to Din?
You're asking me the
question? Yeah,
The nakuda of din is very much related to das. Din is what it is. No more, no less. Chesed is expansion. Din is focused. So when we say matzah is a bechina of din, matzah is being present, and it's learning to relate to something as it is. So for example, we can get very caught up in somebody else's behavior. And we can get pulled in to that person, you know, if it's a kid having a tantrum. Or you could just stand there, and for thousands and thousands of years, kids have had tantrums, and it soon passes. And really what they need to see is a parent in a state of das. And just allowing, it's called in the language of the Baal Shem Tov, Kesef Shem Tov, Kaf, Chet, Bet, Hachnan, Havdala. It's allowing just to take a step back. Matzah, din, is being really present. I exist in the present moment. Din is I'm here right now. Chesed is where one moment is blending into the next moment, blending into the next moment. One of the kavanas of matziv, I'm present, I'm here, nothing else exists. So it takes a gavura to be a baldas.
To be a baldas.
Baldas, yeah? A baldas. It takes gavura to pull back, centering yourself.
Wow, beautiful. Which beautiful really, really ties into this other Zohar, Tetzaveh, where with the Zohar over here, it gives this beautiful mashal. This one, right, is well known, where the Zohar gives, we'll read this one inside, where it gives a mashal, the Malka Dahab, and Parshas Tetzaveh Kuf Be Gimel, right, the Malka Dahab Le Bar Ichidai V'Chalash, that the king had a son, right, he had a son who was sick. And one day the son wanted to eat. So he wanted to eat, right? And what they were told is that you need to eat this food that would bring a refuah for you, right? That there was a food that would bring a refuah, Until the son eats this refua, he can't eat anything else which is in the house. Ibdu hachi, this is what they did. Chevan da achala hu asvasa amar mikan ulala yechol komadi iutayir v'lo yechol inaskalei. That after eating this refua, so then the son was able to eat the other food in the house, and he was okay. Kach kanafku Yisrael mitzrayim. So too, when Yisrael we went out of Mitzrayim, l'havi yadei akarav erazad emunosa. At that point, right, they didn't know this soid, right, the secret of emunah. Amar kutzer brichus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yitamun Yisrael asvasa. That first, what needs to happen, right, at this point within our history, through our experience, right, is that we first needed to have this refuah, right, this food of refuah. Va'ade yachlan asvasa da, lo ischaze lohon mechal dachara. And until they eat, right, this refuah, so they can't eat any other food. Cheben da achlu matzah. So what was this food of refuah? This food of refuah is matzah. Te'iu asvasa lemeal, that it's a refuah, that the matzah itself, right, which allows us to elevate, right, to come to this side of emuna. Amar kuchabrichus, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, mikan la'ala it's chaze lon chametz. Right, so this is the famous question, why is it that after Pesach we're allowed to eat chametz? So here the Zohar is explaining, is that at the beginning, right, once again, Pesach is our beginning, it's our Rosh Hashanah. We're starting out anew. The way that we need to start is with this refuah, which is eating this matzah. And then after we eat it, right, and we're able to come, la'alos of the das, v'soyde emun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, mekan la'ala ischaze lohon chametz, v'yechlone dehalo yachil menaska lohoin. Right, because after we've had this refuah, just like in the story of the king and his son, so then we're able to be healed, so that therefore we can eat chametz and eat other food. And what the Zohar is saying over here, which is once again well known, right, is this concept, right, eat matzah, you know, avoiders of matzah, to know, school of matzah, it's refuah, it brings refuah. What we just shared is very profound, because what we can understand, how is it that this matzah is refuah? Because one understanding connected, we're speaking over here about stress, right, and all of the illness, right, what's a lot to say about the illness which comes from being stressed. And
Stress is an illness.
And all the health problems that become emotional issues, right, physical issues, obviously they're connected because of stress. Matzah itself over here becomes this bread of refuah. Why is it the bread of refuah? Because matzah is das.
It brings us out of ourselves. So the Torah here is like, Torah is very sophisticated. We're not saying give up on matzah. No. Part of the human experience is meaning.
We don't give up on chametz.
We like chametz. The karbanos we bring Shavuos time is chametz, because everything in life is about how we are creating and cultivating meaning. What does something mean to me? I want to live a life that's meaningful and that's purposeful. So in order to know how to do that, I have to know how I work. I have to be able to be the mechanic over my own machinery. So if I know, my essence is consciousness. Consciousness is das. And Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Really, there's a world in front of me and everything just is. Then what happens is, no, I need to go back into the world, but I have to create good meaning to upgrade my life. I have to be involved in the world, but I have to be involved in the world, not Metzeriam, big.
Right.
Can I share a story? Do we have time to share the story from, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yesterday in the Beis HaMedrash, we had one of my dear friends, one of my teachers, and he came and he shared a story. We did the last, what was it called last night? The children parent learning. We had our last one. So Rav Judah told over a story, and it's a beautiful story. I actually heard the story from the Makar, and it's a very profound story, but it comes to emphasize this, that Rav Meir Shapiro came to Vienna. And when Rav Meir Shapiro came to Vienna, he comes off the train and everyone's coming to speak to him, and introducing themselves, all the Rabbonim introducing themselves. And there's a Yid who comes, who is a son-in-law of one of my... He's a son-in-law of the Shatzer Rebbe, Reb Chunah Halpin's teacher. Reb Chunah Halpin was in London, Shatzer Rebbe was in London. So the Shatzer Rebbe's son-in-law, he came to Eretz. He came. He was in. He was Nifta, and his son-in-law took over the base of Medrash. So, why is this important in regards to Rav Meir Shapiro? Because Rav Meir Shapiro was from Shatz. So this Rav, young Rav, who took over the position, he comes to Rav Shapiro and he says, "My name's such and such, and I took over my father-in-law's position, and Tachlis is that I just wanted to say hello. I know that you grew up." Rav Meir Shapiro was so happy, Mamish, wow, how are you? I know your brother-in-laws and your wife, and Tachlis, is your wife here? And is my wife here? My wife's over there in the crowd. Please, let me say hello to her. So all the Rabbonim, everyone, you know, went to one side, and he went over to this Rebbetzin. And Rav Meir Shapiro goes to the Rebbetzin and says to the Rebbetzin, "You know, do you remember me?" He goes, "Of course I remember you, you know, Rav Mela. You know, we used to play together outside. Your father would give shir and give us candies, and we would play together. And we would go outside and play jacks and cards, whatever it was." And then Rav Shapiro turns to the Rebbetzin and says, do you remember when I would tell you about how I wanted to start a yeshiva and daf yomi and this whole, had these visions of building something incredibly big? He used to say, okay, very nice. He used to make fun of me a little bit. But she's a little bit embarrassed. Yeah, I remember. Okay. And actually, I think one time he called me a Meshigana. I was like, yes, she remembered. Okay. The Rav Meir Shapira was called a Meshigana by this little girl and her brothers. And Rav Meir Shapira said to her, "Don't belittle the dreams of a child. Don't belittle the dreams of a child." And there was a whole hoo-ha. This story was told over at, I think, Binyanei Ha'uma at the Siyum Hashas. The person who told over the story, when they were coming down, and Rav came over and says, "How can you tell a story like that? Rav Meir Shapira, he's a Balmidais. He's embarrassed this Rebbetzin. Like, well, what's going on?" At that moment, Rav Moshe Halberstam was walking out, and they ran over to Rav Moshe Halberstam to ask the Shaila, "Should you tell over this story or not? Should you tell? Let's ask the Rav. And Bichlal, do you know if it's true or not?" Huh? So they tell over the whole story, and Rav Moshe Halberstam says, "Of course you should tell over the story, it's a good story." So the person says, "How do you know if it's true?" He says, "Because it was my, I was a little boy, that was my mother, Shatz Rebbe was a Zayda. And he was there, when that story happened. And he said, as far as I remember, he said that every single night when my mother put me to bed, she would say, dream big. And I think what we're saying here is something very, very important in regards of where meaning comes from. Because we don't know, like in a state of das, everything is open. In a state of das, everything is open. And it's the chametz that gives us the big dreams. And what we need to do, instead of belittling someone's dreams, how do we know who a person's going to be? So instead of taking the chametz and it's not nonsense, narishkai, all the dreams, all the meaning, interpret nonsense. And when we do belittle the dreams, when we do take the chametz and we're not directing the chametz, that's where cynicism comes in, and skepticism and pessimism. But when we taka, when we're coming from a place of das, and we know chametz, everything is open. Well, I've got a whole world in front of me. I can be anything and everything. So I can come and I can train the chametz. I can take the chametz from a place of das. I can be conscious. I can be present. And I can listen. And I can guide the chametz and how the chametz works. That's the best use of the chametz. Stress comes from my thinking. Stress, I was led to believe, this is stressful. I've been led to believe a certain something. We now have to retrain ourselves to recognize, no, stress comes from my thinking. And I can take the same situation and I could look at it and say, I'm picking up Nitzoyce's Kedusha here. There's Nitzoyce's Kedusha trapped in. I'm challenged. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending me. I become an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I become mamash, a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything I face is an opportunity to beautify this world, to repair this world. All comes from my thinking. So we want to be in a state of das, but we want to leverage chametz.
Right.
We want to use matzah. We want to use matzah as our starting place, but then jump straight back into the chametz in a healthy way.
Just right after Pesach. Do we have to wait till Pesach ends?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story. And it's, as a parent, that's just so important for me to hear personally. I think for anybody who's involved with children, just to understand, because I think that I'm happy Rebbe mentioned it, because it's an important distinction when we understand the role of chametz. And I think that's what the Zohar is telling us. You could have just thought, okay, just get rid of the chametz. We're saying, no, we want to engage with that, because that interpretation, and that's where the dreaming, and that's where things take place. But in order for that to work well, and it doesn't result in a tzrayim situation, a situation where we end up being stressed, we need to first create that space where first we recognize that there's das, and that we're able, because if we're not able to do that, so then we're already caught up in previous interpretations. We first need to be able to step away from that situation and recognize what's going on in this moment just is. Just is. And from that place of recognizing that this is what it just is, so now I can see, how can I now look at it differently? How could I interpret a situation in a more positive way? Or you said before, you know, I can take a situation, instead of getting stressed about it, I can become excited about it. Right? That interpretation could only take place if we first become a bar das. And it's beautiful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts us off this year with this avodah, that we'll be able to do it, especially at Leila Seder. I was holding myself back before from interrupting, you know, about being present at Leila Seder. I know that, you know, if anyone, you know, has had the bracha of being at Leila Seder with more than just yourself, so then things aren't necessarily able to work with you. You have your pile of agadas with all your perushim, the Ben Ishchais, and, you know, and the Smasambasis and the Zohar Kodesh, and everyone has an Agadah, the Chavetz Chaim, and you have all your Avaitas, and then you look up and it's like, wait, what's going on over here? This one's yelling, this one's screaming, this one's throwing food, and it's like, wait, 1 second. Oh, it's just me, everyone else is looking at me like I'm a bit funny. And it's a funny thing, but while eating matzah we can become chametz. You never like, wait, 1 second. I'm trying to eat my matzah here. It's like, while we're eating matzah, we can become chametzdik. And it's something we need to be aware of, is that we, B'ezras Hashem, will be able to eat our matzah, but we want to do it in a way that we are being matzah. So maybe we could just wrap up, Rebbe, could you share an avodah for us that we can take rolling into Pesach, into Leila Seder, and really for all the days of Pesach, some way that we can eat matzah to try to connect with these beautiful yisodas we've seen in the Zohar Kaddish and from Rabbi Nassim and the Tzaddikim, so that we can, Bezos Hashem, build our das through our matzah eating.
So I would like to share with you a teaching I learned from Rabbi Yitzchak Grudzinski, Zichron Livracha, who was the son of Rav Avram Grudzinski, who heard this from his Rebbe going back to Rabbi Yisrael Salant. And this was heard by two teachers, Rav Mordechai Zuckerman as well, who was a Talmud of Rav Avram Grudzinski. I heard it from both of them. Rabbi Yisrael Salant, he would stand by his shtender, and it would be, I don't know, mid-morning, and he'd daven shacharis. It wasn't yet time for davening mincha, and for sure wasn't time for davening mariv. But he'd be standing there with his siddur open and davening. It looked like he was davening. So one of the talmidim goes over and says, Rebbe, like, vustisti, what are you doing? It's not, you daven shacharis, I was with you. Too early for mincha. He says, I'm practicing to daven. What's pshat? Pshat is that I can practice, I can set up my whole neurobiology. I can come to the shtender and I can practice davening. How do I want to invite my body to davening? How do I want to invite my emotions to davening? How do I want to invite my thinking to davening? So you can practice davening. You can practice learning Torah. You can practice getting up in the morning. Your mind doesn't know the difference. For your mind, it's real. So one thing that one of the last conversations I had with Rabbi Grudzinski, who was nifta a few years ago, said, practice eating matzah. So he says, pretend you're eating matzah. And I was actually talking about, I think Reb Svi and myself, we're the only people that experience this. I find Pesach difficult at times because I'm having this internal conversation that's coming to share with me that, oh, this should be like this, and that should be like that, and I want to have this kavana, and I practice this, these yichudim, and this interpretation, and I want to be able to tell each kid a certain Torah, and I want them to tell me a Torah, to stand up on the chair, ma nishtana, and like throwing the chair at one another.
No, all the children's books show that there's one child standing, and everyone else is just looking.
Yes, I don't know. My kids didn't catch up, and
I didn't read that book.
So what he said as following. Imagine eating your matzah and just allowing everything around you to be. Kids are fighting. Kids are trying to say their manishtana, Because really what it is that's triggering you is your internal interpretation of thinking, no, it needs to be like this and it needs to be like that. Matzah's letting go of that interpretation, and matzah's just looking around and seeing that things exist and everything is placed perfectly. Everyone's doing exactly what they're meant to be doing. So it's eating the matzah and it's just shh. And it's just looking around as you eat the matzah. Everything is exactly how it needs to be in this present moment. And it's it's a very, very powerful experience because, you know, we come as parents to the world of Pesach and Haggadah Shel Pesach, and it's just one night. If people are unlucky enough to be in Chutz Laaretz, it's two nights. Us, Baruch Shem, Toshvei Eretz Yisrael, it's one night. And we need to get the chinuch in. It's the chinuch for the whole year. So what comes with that? This pressure and stress of control. And Rav Grudzinski said, you know what your kids need to see? And even though they may be shouting and like trying to give over their Torah, they see an Abba, they see an Ima, they see an elder who's just patience. He's just in the moment, eating their matzah. And I did this, and I found it very, very powerful.
Wow.
I told this as well, the Kretchen of Rebbe Zichron Livrach had as well a similar Avodah.
Beautiful.
He would stop himself. He would stop himself, and he would have a cup of, he'd have like a Nagelwasser, Dveikus water. Stick his fingers in for Dveikus. And he says, really, really, where that comes up is all the places where you've got this expectation of things should turn out a certain way, and it doesn't. So Dveikus water, again, just to ground yourself, and just to be present, and practice eating the matzah,
wow,
where things just are. And it's an Aveda. Takes effort. It's an avodah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful. That's a beautiful idea of practicing before. I'm gonna be neder. I'm gonna implement them for myself. We'll see how it rolls. Okay, yeah. And we invite the rest of you to join together with us. If Esos Hashem together, we should be able to experience the bracha and the refuah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us within our matzah that will change the way that we experience looking at reality, to reduce and dissolve all of those things that are stopping us when it comes to money, when it comes to our finance, when it comes to our work. Ezra Hashem, each one of us should be able to experience bracha. And we look forward to continuing going on this journey together. Once again, we're looking for Yidden that are inspired to be able to share this vision of experiencing Pesach with more and more Yidden. Please, we're looking for sponsors for the rest of our series. And together we'll be able to experience all the brachas Hashem had in mind.
Amen. To all of Am Yisrael, to all of the human species. Amen.
Amen.